This is the News and Talk of Nevada. Now, Bosma on Business with award-winning entrepreneur Mike Bosma. We're getting Northern Nevada back to business on News Talk 780 KOH.
Good morning, Reno. It is Mike Bosma, your business savvy CPA. Hey, each and every Saturday morning, we give it to you 60 minutes of action-packed business adventure. Of course, whether or not you're in business, you're going to want to stay tuned to this show. We really are talking about tax reform, and basically what I've done is have completely digested the House proposal, and I've got experts in studio to kind of talk about things you need to do now if this thing is passed, and things that is going to impact your business and have that cause and effect relationship, because after all, if interest is no longer deductible, do you think people are going to be borrowing as much? So you're going to want to stay tuned. In studio, I've got Katrina Lofton-Winkle from Mergers Acquisitions Business Advisors, otherwise known as MABA, or M&A Business Advisors.
That would be the right name. There you go.
M&A Business Advisors. Welcome, yeah. Katrina.
Thank you. Good okay. morning.
Hey, any vacation plans coming up?
No. I'm too busy. Busy.
Busy. Well, that's good. That's good.
Happy, thankful. Yeah.
I actually decided, one of the things that me and my beautiful bride, the amazing and talented Jill Brosma, decided is every other month we were going to go out of town and get through this little getaway thing. And we missed September, and that ended up morphing into a family getaway, the old staycation. Then missed October because October was crazy busy, and then I'm like, hey, what happened to our weekend retreat?
Yeah,
and they kind of looked on the calendar and there was no weekend open between now and January when we're doing the family vacation, and I'm like, kind of feel a little ripped off.
Yeah, the holidays. Yeah, actually, yeah, I am going somewhere for the holidays.
So I just decided. Jill made the mistake of saying, going to watch the Dallas Cowboys play on Thanksgiving is a bucket list item. So guess what we're doing?
Fun. Who are they playing?
The Chargers.
Oh, so nice. Cool. Yeah,
there you
fun.
Go. Only weekend available, but darn it, we're going.
Good.
What the heck?
Why not? Fun. Yeah.
So now, of course, what I did is because now I'm a credentialed member of the press, I sent out requests for Emmett Smith, Troy Aikman, and Roger Staubach for interviews.
Oh.
And we're going to start a whole new segment on Bosma on Business that is all about professional athletes who converted that into a successful business career.
That's a good idea. I like it.
So,
Have they returned your calls?
Actually, Emmett's people got back to me and
really?
Said he's way too busy on Thanksgiving. I'm like, I can come by.
You
I can
think?
Be completely
yeah.
I'd be flexible.
Way to write off that trip.
You have me completely dead right.
So I do.
Be that as it may, when CLA gets that
and
expense report.
And the tickets, right?
Right yeah. His tickets are not inexpensive. I've got Rodney Borges, Senior Vice President of Small Business Lending at Plumas Bank. Rodney, welcome.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Okay. So Rodney or Rod? What do you prefer?
Either's good.
All right.
Either's
Hot good. Rod. How's it going?
Right.
Anybody ever call you Hot Rod in school?
Yeah, a few times.
Okay, cool. All right. I'm a little punchy this morning. So you know what that means, listeners? It's going to be a fun show. I mentioned we have kind of tax reform teed up, and we're going to talk about how all these changes are going to impact your business, things you have to do now, and just get general consensus on if this is good, bad, or indifferent. So for fun. Now, Rodney, tell us a little bit about yourself and Plumas.
I've been with Plumas Bank for about 10 years, been in the small business lending environment for 27 years, worked for a number of different banks and non-bank lenders, and a lot of fun, get to work with a lot of different types of businesses, different types of industries, entrepreneurs right. at the most critical level.
So now, Katrina says you're the only bank who actually lends money. So how do you respond to that?
We do. I mean, especially back in the day, circa 2008, 2009, when there was very little small business capital out there, some of these applicants would be surprised that we actually returned their phone call.
Right.
Actually gave them some type of lending options and told them that we were a bank that wanted to make loans. So
okay. Cool.
Much more competitive environment today. excellent environment today for small business borrowers.
So what that means, small business owners, is that means good terms and good rates, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And lots of different lenders. The competition in our business has increased dramatically. And so, yeah, it's great options, lots of options for for borrowers.
So let's kind of kick off. Let's just jump into the thick of things. So, because this is probably the number one thing that if you're a business owner out there right now that you actually have to start acting on now, and it's not something you can do later, and that is you can no longer write off alimony. So no longer write off alimony. So what business owners, what that means is when on January 1st, when your 50-something-year-old wife decides that she wants to trade you in for a model who's not cranky and is actually going to be around, and because you've been supporting her for all this time, she's going to be entitled to alimony. Right?
Was that a commercial for Marilyn? What was that?
You should have had Marilyn.
So, we should have.
But when that happens, what happens is under current law, alimony, you get to deduct it, and then the person you pay it to picks it up as income. Well, normally there's a pretty good rate play there, right? So the business owner deducts that alimony against 39.6%. The ex-spouse who doesn't have to work anymore. I'm hardly bitter about this at all. The ex-spouse who doesn't have to work anymore, right? Well, now if this law is passed, 1/1/18, any divorce entered into after that, alimony no longer deductible, and it's not income to the spouse.
I'm shocked that Trump did that. I'm shocked. Of all people, how many times has he been married? I mean, imagine his alimony.
I'm just saying. Because he had a prenup.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So, yeah. No
alimony. I'm all for prenups. Yeah.
That's it. Okay. So business owners, so what do you got to do now? You got to get the divorce started now.
Right?
You
got to
get started now. Otherwise, it's a thing. I mean, it's a thing. I mean,
it's
literally
horrible. Actually, I think that's not good. I mean, right?
Right.
It's not good. It's a huge expense to people,
right?
Usually.
And,
so,
and
yeah.
Then you look at after tax, with effective tax rates, pretty close to 45%.
Wow.
With, phased out of itemized deductions, 39.6% top marginal tax rate. Plus, if you're, have state income, like I said, pretty close to 45% all in. At least now, under the new tax proposal, you can't write off your income taxes. There's a portion that you can write off against the business portion of that, but
get divorced now.
Get divorced now, and you got to get that thing started.
Yeah,
you got to get her going.
So if you get it started, are you still in the clear?
It's actually if the divorce is finalized after 1/1/18. Now, of course, the Senate is in the process of releasing kind of what their thoughts on this. And then, of course, it goes to the Joint Committee. But that's a big one. I mean, it's a thing. And then, basically what that means for spouses who that are on the receiving side of that, it basically gives them a 50% increase in what their net after tax on the alimony is.
Wow.
You're giving people a lot of incentive to leave their business owner spouses.
Wow.
It's a thing.
Hmm.
So Rod, what are your thoughts on this? Rod's just like, what did I just walk into?
He's happily married.
that's interesting. That's interesting because in our world, we deal with alimony and we're trying to analyze the personal income and expenses of an applicant. And that could have an impact for sure.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
interesting.
Yeah, all of a sudden it starts to change because there's a certain amount you got to pull out of the business, to fund your living expenses, alimony being one of those. And now without the deduction, you got to pull out more to pay taxes on it. Right. So,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That could impact loans, huh?
Yep.
Interesting.
I'm just saying. So, do this. If I've got this entire deck, 3 pages of my analysis of the tax reform package, kind of winners and losers, and who, and kind of what to do about it and how it's going to impact the world, right? So it's gonna, and I think it all matters. So anyway, go to my Facebook page, and it's all there, so you can take a look at it. So
yeah, it was good
of course
stuff.
My Facebook page, like me, I like to be like Mike Bosma, and crazy, I'm pushing I think 4,800 quote unquote friends on Facebook, but I'm like up to 5,200 on LinkedIn.
Oh really? Wow.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'll put this on LinkedIn too, just because I have more friends there.
Good idea.
Nice.
I'm just saying. All right. So there are some big things in this proposal that are nuts. Rod, something that's going to hit you square. all of a sudden federal government decides, gosh, you know, if you have more than $500,000 in debt, we're not going to let you write that interest off. So have you seen anything percolating in the bank circles about how that's going to impact lending?
I mean, not really from my perspective, just because we don't, I don't operate in the, on the residential side. So yeah, we're still kind of trying to see how everything's going to,
okay,
going to wash out at this point.
Yeah. So, so I have on here, this is, row 9 in my Excel sheet. People who are buying homes with debt over 500,000 are the losers. And of course they backdated this thing. So loans originated after November 2nd when they released it, their cap. So even if it's not like it's effective 18, like, okay, I got to hurry up and buy the house.
Right.
And if you refinance your existing mortgage, now you're stuck in here. So basically, yeah, unbeknownst to you, because I was thinking of like maybe refinancing my mortgage is less than that. But if I did, and I was thinking, gosh, I should really, rates are really good right now. Now I'm locked in. If I refi it,
right,
I don't get to write off the excess interest. So
yeah,
now, Rod, this does impact you. So what my spin on this is what you should do is take out the money from your business and get a business loan rather than get a personal loan. So
to pay off your house? Well, you cannot tell the bank. Don't tell the bank.
Don't tell. Well, okay, well, right? So I mean,
he's right here. He can hear you.
Because that's now smart. And now, guys out there, you have to know this thing called the interest tracing rules. That so if you take the business loan from the bank, put it in the business account, and then write a distribution check to yourself, that's now called a debt finance distribution, and it's all traced to what you're paying it on, whether or not you can deduct it. But what you do, right? This is really important. That's like, this probably, we want to archive this show because there's all kinds of tax tips and tricks on how to make all the business magic happen. So you take the loan, you take the advance on the line of credit, right? So and your bank says, okay, cool. And then you you do it right before payroll. So payroll goes out the door, right? Day one, line of credit draw into the business bank account, payroll. And that takes you, you know, and then you get money in from customers because hopefully they pay you, right? And then, because that's what you were going to pay payroll with, but that money you got in from the customers, deposited it after the payroll, and then as soon as it's deposited, do that distribution out to yourself, right? Now that's not a debt finance distribution. Now it's just a distribution of profits. Ta-da! So now that all the loan interest...
You're going on that list at the bank that's like, do not loan to.
No, it's completely legit. Now, Rod, from the Plumas perspective, it's your job to make sure you say how much debt covenant, you know, how much you can borrow, what use of proceeds, all that stuff, right?
It's pretty specific in the SBA world.
Yeah.
So are we, because it's a government guaranteed program, we abide by some different rules.
Right.
So it's... It's a little more complicated than that.
A little more complicated. It's always
But with a line of credit, I can see, you know, maybe.
Credit, right? Okay.
Maybe.
So anyway, so let's do this. When we come back, let's kind of talk about some of these tax reform and how it's going to impact your business and kind of how to navigate this thing, what you got to do now. It's Bosma on Business, News Talk 780 KOH. Welcome back to Bosma on Business. Your host, Mike Bosma, in studio, Katrina Lofton-Winkle from M&A Business Advisors, and Rod Borges from Plumas Bank, and kind of talking about how this tax reform proposal is going to impact kind of how people do business. And Rod, on the break, you were mentioning that, kind of how the interest rates play. The interest rates right now on your personal residence a lot lower than a business line. How much lower, I guess?
Well, I mean... The typical 30-year mortgage right now is in the low 4%. A 15-year mortgage in the threes.
Right. Three and a half.
Typical equity lines on a home are somewhere around prime rate, prime plus a half. You know, business loans, most lenders are lending on a spread above prime, and that could be 2% above prime, could be more.
Right.
In the SBA world, the theoretical maximum is 2.75% above the prime rate. So
if I had if I was going to do an equipment loan, I'm going to pay 4% on my mortgage. What percent on average do you think I'd pay on my equipment?
Depending upon strength of the business,
let's just say
size
of
their relationship with a bank, it's certainly going to be somewhere in the fives.
Okay, so which kind of proves my point. So Whew. Okay, thank you for supporting me. So the reason I say that is, so your 4%, if all of a sudden your 4% interest is non-deductible and your effective tax rate is 45%, that's going to feel like it's a 6% loan, okay, after
right.
tax.
Yeah.
If you can't deduct that excess. So kind of the game here is like, hey, if I, you know, like I was mentioning on the break, is like, a lot of people like, well, I don't want to pay, you know, 5% on an equipment loan, I'll just pay cash for it, right? So, but now it's kind of like if this thing passes the way that it's currently drafted, as a business owner, you're going to say, well, heck, I'd rather pay 5% than net 6%, which is going to feel like my non-deductible mortgage interest. So what you do is you get a $500,000 loan. In fact, probably what you're going to really, really, really do is you're going to get a conforming loan, an FHA loan, or whatever that is, 420 ish. And then every, it's because you're going to get the absolute best rate. You know, you're going to, I'm not going to do the jumbo mortgage. I'm
right.
just going to do the FHA conforming loan for the max amount
yeah,
of that.
417,000.
Yeah. 417 grand. And then the difference I'm going to basically finagle out of my business, because if I'm borrowing at 5% there, it's better than what's going to feel like 6% or more, by the non-deductible portion of the interest. And so you basically end up with a, you know, good size reduction in your net effective interest expense, right?
Yeah.
So, or increased cash
sure.
flow. So, and that's this way you got to make sure you mentioned, Rod, make sure you've got a good banking relationship so that, you know, people understand what you're doing, right? You've maybe never had an equipment loan before. But now you're going to say, okay, well, now this just makes sense. So the other thing that is a significant impact, let's start at the top. I started with a divorce one just because I thought it'd be fun. So winners and losers. So winners, families with few or no kids. Losers, large families with
yeah.
a lot of kids, right? Because sure. basically they said, well, we doubled the standard deduction amount. It's laughable because they didn't double the standard deduction amount. Standard deduction amount, $12,000. But your personal exemption, if they're married, filing, joint, $4,000 each, that's $8,000. So you basically already had $20,000 of baseline deduction. But now they said, well, gosh, what we're going to do is we're going to, quote unquote, double that to $24,000. But they didn't, right? So they just went from 20 when after your personal exemptions,
yeah.
married, joint, to 24.
I mean, that's simple math. That's not doubled.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's government, you know.
Yeah. Government math, yeah.
But the thing is, then they made everything non-deductible. Medical expenses, non-deductible. Real estate taxes, over $10,000, non-deductible.
That medical thing, that's bad. That's sad, actually. That's just wrong.
You know, so that's where so what that means is for a lot of people on the no longer being able to deduct medical expenses, that really changes the dynamic of kind of what kind of deductible you're going to have. You know, a lot of times people are like, hey, I'd rather have the high deductible plan.
Yeah.
And
sure.
then just, you know, if I get sick, you know, I you know, kind of the added bonus there is I max out my deductible now. At least I can deduct it on my Schedule A. No mas, por favor.
So like all the concierge doctors that are doing well right now, that's, you can't write that off anymore.
Right. That's all now. Exactly.
Homeopathic, which I prefer, you know, that's a bummer.
You can't
wow.
write that off anymore. So that's where you're like going, you know, at least, and again, if you're in a marginal, if your effective tax rate on those expenses is 45%, it's in essence doubling the cost of care by not
right.
being able to deduct them.
Wow.
So that's where it's like, and so that's real. So like if you're in the business of providing kind of these, you know, one-off services,
yeah.
Where, you know, it's going to in essence double the cost net of tax, what you're costing your patients.
Wow.
And so that, do you think that's going to impact him? Do you think
absolutely.
He's, right. So, yeah. so Rod's just like, he's going to go back to the bank and pull all the lines of credit.
yeah. From all the doctors, the concierge
right.
doctors. Yeah.
So it's a thing. So,
that is sad though. I mean, people with terminal illness, I mean, mm-hmm. that's just not right.
Right.
That's
Yep. Yeah. And a lot of times what ends up happening is, you know, where's all this money go, particularly towards end of life? You know, the money is basically parked in a IRA of some form or fashion. They go into the assisted living facility. They go, you know, they're in critical care where
sure.
it's literally, you know, $100,000 a day, the cost of this. And, you know, they have insurance, they have Medicare, but then there's a significant amount that's not covered. Well, they take it all out of their IRA to pay for it.
Right.
Right. So it's taxable when it comes out of their IRA. But then, and kind of the way it works is, you know, you'd have to take a 7.5% or 10% haircut on that to get it on your Schedule A. So you're paying some tax. It's just not, you know, but most of it you're able to write off. Like again, no more. So that's where it should change how you're thinking of deductibles, co-insurance, all of those things, because it significantly reduces the cost of that if your other option is a not a tax advantaged option.
And you can
option.
Still write off medical insurance.
Correct. Right. You're still, to the extent you're either a business owner or covered under an accountable plan, you can still write that off. But for all the other part of it, for all the people that are insured, that are covered, that have their own insurance, that's all non-deductible now.
So that's a wake-up call, though, for insurance companies to come up with, you know, alternative plans, maybe.
Alternative plans. And, of course, what I tell people is it sounds
better
like you
plans.
Need a business, right?
Yeah.
There's more reasons now than ever, if this thing passes, to be able to have a side business, because that's really the only way to get any kind of tax break.
So can you write it off in the business?
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good.
The self-employed health insurance is still a thing. So they're
good.
Like, okay, gosh. But if
so I'm good.
But so you're good.
Okay. Good.
I got you. I got you back.
Okay.
All right. The other thing that's a significant change in this is the max tax rate for business owners. So right now, max tax rate 39.6%. And they kind of threw this bone out saying, well, gosh, business owners, you're going to love this because your max tax rate's only 25% now on that income. But it's complete kahooey because it's only on 30% of your business income. So let me do the math for you. So you made $100,000 in your business. And so they're going to say, well, $30,000 or 30% of 100 is going to be taxed at 25%. The rest is all going to be taxed at ordinary income. That's a thing. So
wow.
It's like I said, it's kind of the bait switch. They're like, oh, we'll put this 25% kind of sparkly out there, you know, the shiny ball, and then we'll, but by and large, it's not going to help your situation much. A little bit, but not much. It's only expected to cut taxes by $500 billion, which in, you know, the change of the standard deduction increases taxes $1.5 trillion. So the give back on that's $500 million.
Wow.
So let's do this. We're talking about tax reform, how it's going to impact businesses and people, how our whole economy is going to change and what you need to do now about it. It's Bosma on Business, News Talk 780 KUH. Welcome back, Bosma on Business. Your host, Mike Bosma, talking about tax reform in studio, Katrina Loftenwinkel from M&A Business Advisors and Rodney Borges, Senior Vice President, Small Business Lending at Plumas Bank. And just talking about how this potential tax reform is going to impact you. And so on my Facebook page, I have this whole list of stuff that kind of winners and losers, what you need to, you know, what it is and how it's going to impact you and what you need to do about it. Some other losers on this proposal, UNR football and basketball season ticket holders.
I didn't know you could write that off, so I probably would have been a season ticket holder. So
basically, this is for the proverbial seat license. So you're like, hey, if you're a season ticket holder and you get some, you know, the boxes up there, you know, they don't just charge you. They're like, no, you gotta pay a certain amount for the whole thing,
check.
And then you can
write
off 80% of it as charitable. That's going away. But of course, I'm a big fan of planning, so just pay for your season tickets early. Pay them for them 17, you get to write them all off.
Perfect.
The other thing that was a thing for businesses that if you're relocating an employee for the benefit, you know, obviously the business, you're maybe opening up that San Diego shop.
That location, yes, that you want me to open, yes.
Yeah, anybody knows a CPA firm,
yeah.
You know, Clifton Larson Allen is looking for a San Diego location.
Yes, and we are as well. So,
but you know, you'd move your employee down there, you'd pay for that. Well, that's a tax-free fringe benefit, but now that's gone. So
yeah,
now
that surprised me. That seems like such a small thing I couldn't believe they changed that.
So then, does that become income to the employee?
It's income to them. So now, if you're asking an employee to go down, they're going to say, well, gosh, it's going to, you know, usually it's 20 grand or so to move somebody. So you're like, gosh, you're going to make me pay an extra 10 grand in tax. I'm doing this for you. So they're going to have to gross up the salary.
Yeah.
So now instead of it costing you 20 grand to move your employee, it's going to cost you 30 because you got to gross it up for the tax they got to pay on it.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Yay. Yeah. The other big one that I think is going to impact the banking situation and real estate prices here significantly. So tax-free gain of home, currently, if you sell your home, you own it two of the last 5 years as your primary personal residence, and you're married, up to $500,000 of that, you can have gain tax-free. Well, now they move it to five of the last eight. And so Think of all these people that bought all these homes. You know, ideally, like, you know, what's the most, what's the piece of the real estate economy on residential real estate that hasn't recovered yet? What do you think?
Oh, the larger homes.
Homes, yeah. Right? Yeah, sure. The larger homes. So now the interest on those larger homes, non-deductible.
It's going away, yeah.
And now in order to up, let's say I want to sell my home out there in Sparks and sell it for $400,000 and I got a couple hundred grand in equity. I'm going to roll that. Can't roll anymore, but normally that would be tax-free if I lived in that two of the last 5 years. Well, now it goes to five of the last eight.
Wow.
So now I got 5 years. So think about it. We're already in a housing crunch.
Yeah.
And people are not going to sell their home and end up with a big tax hit on it.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be, for here, that's going to be incredibly impactful in a negative way. Yes.
Yeah. So just think of, what I would anticipate as a result of this is there's going to be a lot less homes in the market, and a lot less demand for the larger homes.
Right.
So
It's going to hurt the move up market.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
where's
the business opportunity here, guys?
I don't know what.
It's got to be the lower end, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
under
for sure.
500,
yeah.
Under 500,000.
Yeah.
So I think we should. So I was thinking about this. So there's an article in the RGJ the other day about New West Distributing, the Coors distributor, and they kind of have offices inside of their warehouse in shipping containers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, that big pink Scolari south of town?
Yeah.
Imagine if we made residential pods inside of these shipping containers inside of the store.
Okay.
So that way, because, how much of, insulation, all the rest of it do you need for because you're outside in the elements.
Right.
And so that way you're like, you already got this big store.
Right.
Right. You just put it inside, kind of create a, it's kind of like, what is it, the Truman Show? Remember that from years ago?
I was just going to say, that's creepy. Well, I would not want to live there.
Come on, get me a damn size.
No, that's like, no.
So, and then all of a sudden you're like, hey, entry-level house, there's a little community in there. Well, you basically can make the whole ceiling look like sky.
They can do cool things with the shipping containers, though. But inside the Scolaris is the problem I'm having with all of that.
Well,
yeah.
I just think then you're going to save money on HVAC, insulation, all the rest of it.
Yeah,
That's a fad in restaurants.
Right.
As you're starting to see that. There's a number of them down
downtown,
Yeah, there's a number of them down in Sacramento as well.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So, like I said, just for fun.
Okay.
The other thing for business owners, dependent care assistance, now a thing of the past. This thing has passed. So, if you're an employer and you kind of say, hey, we'll give you, we have this cafeteria plan. You can throw money at it, do that tax-free. It's gone.
That's a bummer.
Long-term service awards, right? So somebody gets their 10-year anniversary. You can give them a couple $100 of a bobble. Give them
a fossil
20, watch.
I got like a printout from the thing. I was shocked to get that. So,
so that's gone, or will be if this thing passes. The other thing that's a big one, IRA account holders. So if you've got an IRA, you kind of have this opportunity right now to convert it to a Roth. And then when we tell everybody, convert it to a Roth. In fact, I'd say as a market should become very volatile over this next season, as soon as it just tanks, go down to your broker and say you want to do the Roth conversion. And then so it's lower, right? So that'll hopefully, and if it continues to tank, you can always recharacterize it. Well, that's under the current proposal. You can do that for 17, but not for 18 or after. So you can unwind it in 17 up to the extended date of your due date return. So that's what kind of my expectation is on the market. That's going to create a bunch of volatility because everybody's now is like, well, I got to convert my IRA because I want to have because I can always recharacterize it if it goes down and I have a different tax situation.
Wow.
Just saying.
Okay.
So yeah, expect a very volatile stock market.
Which we knew was coming anyway. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yes. Of course, getting rid of the estate exemption. I wonder who that helps.
Yeah.
Don't get me started. Now, the significant one that is, and Katrina, we run into this all the time. So really what this was for, what this tax legislation was for, was to reduce the max corporate tax rate to 20% on C corporations. Mm-hmm. And if you're a personal service corporation, it's to 25%. So, you know, and I think that's going to create, you know, and the, I think the market's already priced that reduction in. Obama was already talking about it, right, before he left office. This has been, you know, kind of top of everybody's mind for a long time. So it's not surprising that, you know, the Republicans in control are trying to get this thing through. But the other thing it does significantly is it changes the landscape of all business.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
So, and like, so, you know, Katrina, I mean, how many times have we looked at a business that is trying to sell who's a C corp, and we're like, your effective tax rate on this thing's 50%.
Exactly.
Luckily, plus 55%.
In Nevada.
Right.
Yeah.
Between you pay the 34% corporate rate, then what's left, you know, you pay 23.8% on. So this basically says, hey, you know, there's opportunity here to significantly reduce your tax if you're a C corp. So I just see a significant move to becoming a C corporation. But that's where it's interesting, Rod, from a banking perspective. When you look at debt covenants, is that all before tax or after tax?
Well, I mean, in our world, in the SBA world, you really don't have covenants.
Okay.
So I'm from
you don't
a
have
little...
debt service covenants?
No, because you're doing 7 to 25 year fully amortized term financing.
Okay.
You're financing long term assets. So to monitor for that, as long as your borrower is making their payments,
okay,
there are a lot of things that can go on. They can take distributions, do all kinds of things. If they're making their payments in the eyes of SBA,
then they're fine.
They're in compliance. On the other side, the conventional banking side, a little different issue, but yeah, I'd say those are probably typically pre-tax covenants.
Right.
If I were to,
that's what I would say too. Typically pre-tax covenants. The other thing that is fascinating is how they're looking at depreciation. Basically, they're saying, "Hey, bonus depreciation is extended. You can write off anything that's new, and then you can, if it's used, you can take a 179 expense election up to $5 million. So you can pay, for most mortal businesses, right?
Yeah,
anything
that's
you
awesome.
Buy, you can write off.
Right.
Sure.
But the one that I think is the big surprise that is just, glad to have you here, is to talk about is people are qualifying for loans because now they're expanding this opportunity to be a cash basis taxpayer. So just to kind of tee that up. So if you're an accrual basis taxpayer and I send the bill out to, you know, to my customer, I record that as income. So, right, debit accounts receivable, credit income,
right,
credit revenue. And then when I collect it, debit, cash, credit accounts receivable. Well, on the cash basis of accounting, I don't record the income until I get the cash.
Right.
Correct. So they're expanding the ability to use the cash basis of accounting up to $25 million a year in sales. That's a lot of sales.
Yeah.
Wow.
So how does that impact their bankability if all of a sudden it shows that they're making a lot less money kind of on their books? And Katrina, from a business sale perspective,
I'm thinking
they're
this,
under cash method
horrible.
Of accounting,
yeah.
Right? I mean, basically, I'm not recording all that revenue, so it's just going to show I've not made as much.
Well, I mean, there's a couple lines of thought. If it's a sizable business, fairly sophisticated, oftentimes they've got CPA-reviewed mm-hmm. financial statements,
right,
and they may have them prepared on a review on an accrual basis.
Right.
However, most of the small business borrowers that we deal with, they may not even be using a CPA. They may be using a CTEC. They may be using an EA.
Right.
In fact, oftentimes it appears they're on a cash basis
already.
In certain cases,
right,
where maybe they,
right,
shouldn't be.
Right.
So
that comes up a lot. I mean, that we've dealt with that a lot, where,
right,
people are on a cash basis. They should be on an accrual basis, and we switch them, and then their business becomes profitable immediately.
It's true, right? And so one of the things that I'm a big fan of is, if you're looking at your business, regardless of your ability to use cash basis for tax purposes, always use accrual. For financial statement purposes, for management purposes.
For selling.
It just makes, creates clarity in how a business is operating. So, good content. And, you know, when we come back, we've got a couple points on tax reform. And then the number one thing that you need to be mindful about in this tax reform season, it's Bosma on Business. News Talk 780 KOH. Welcome back to Bosma on Business. In studio, Katrina Loftin-Winkle from M&A Business Advisors and Rodney Borges from Plumas Bank, I appreciate you guys both kind of weighing in on, you know, your respective disciplines. It's always good fodder, just kind of, you know, how it impacts each of us differently or the same. So if you need that summary, again, go to my Facebook page. If I get really jiggy with it, I'll get it on Bosma on Business, but I definitely get it on my Facebook page. And you can kind of see how that impacts you. Of course, if you need to sit down, we give all of our listeners an hour of our time, and to kind of, if you need to kind of plan on this and how it might impact you, 786-4900 or mike.bosma@claconnect.com. Of course, CLA, we have great resources on our national tax office. So if you want to get on that newsletter distribution list, send me an email and I'll get you signed up for that, just so that you're kind of in the know as this stuff is percolating. You know, kind of real quick, as I mentioned, there's the other significant things that, you know, that I didn't really get a touch on this last segment is now there's a limitation on interest expense. And so basically there's a concern that a lot of companies are pulling out all their cash to out of the business so they can pay down their mortgage balance. So,
right.
So if you pull out too much, you have too much interest expense. So that's also on this thing. But that's what, you know, what's funny is the bank oftentimes will, you know, kind of restrict that. But now the government's saying, hey, if you've, you know, and that really impacts, Katrina, your world.
Yeah.
Because for, you know, a lot of times people, it's debt finance buyouts, you know,
right.
It's not, people don't come in with a bunch of cash, they come in with a bunch of debt.
Right.
They're either borrowing it from the bank or they're borrowing it from the seller.
Sure. Right.
And so I think that's going to really impact your world.
Yeah. Yeah, it will. So it's not deductible. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Only up to a certain percentage.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, like I said, I've got that detail on this outline, but like I said, it'll change how, the amount of equity in deals and, how people look at buying these things.
Right.
So anyway, food for that, just for fun. So anywho, you know, we always leave our listeners with the number one thing. So talking tax reform. So Katrina, we'll start with you. What's the big takeaway here?
Well, if you're contemplating divorce, I guess get it now. It's really,
sad.
I think this is complicated stuff. And I think you need to meet with your CPA, make sure that you're doing what you need to do to have this either affect you in a positive way or, you know, change things so that it is.
That's fair enough. Rod, the Rod man, Rodney, the Rodster.
I kind of echo what Katrina's saying is be informed and reach out to your different business advisors and make sure that you're looking at the different angles and trying to do some planning for your particular situation.
No, and actually that's a good point. There's as you reach out, one of the things that I love CPAs, been around in my entire professional career. They tend to operate in silos. So if you were going to your CPA and talk to them, hey, I need you know, to listen to Bosma over the weekend. What do you think about this stuff? How's it going to impact me? Make sure you're probably also meeting with your other advisors. Make sure you're including your banker in on that discussion as well as your attorney.
Your financial planner.
Planner. I mean, it all matters.
The Roth thing. Yeah,
right,
big time.
Right. So and that's where I'm a big fan is at least once a year, you need to get that team together and just talk about planning. And that usually happens in Q4. So we're in that season now where you should be meeting with all of your advisors and kind of like, hey, this is the game plan. Finish this year strong and then rock and roll next year. So again, 786-4900 if you need some help. And next week, right, more on tax reform, of course, more business, more awesome. It's Bosma on Business, News Talk 780 KOH.